This is Pastor Kevin. The message you're about to hear was prepared for my church family with prayer and care. I share it with you so that God's Word may impact your life as it has mine. Most of the message recordings on my website are accompanied by listening guides or note sheets to help you focus on the message and identify the key points. I encourage you to download and print the guide or note sheet for this message and use it to take your own notes. And when it comes to decision time, you'll find it easier to recognize just what God is asking of you. One more thing. Pause the recording and pray, asking God to meet with you personally in the next few minutes. That's why I put these messages online, so you could hear Him, not me. God bless you on your journey to fruitful fellowship of our Lord Jesus. I want to share with you a message that I've titled, Attracted to Obscurity. I think that describes God. If you look at Him through history, He seems to be attracted to the obscure, to people who aren't making headlines, and He makes headlines Himself using those people. He seems to be attracted to the obscure. Early in the history of God's people, early on, leaders among God's people were often shepherds and herdsmen. As a matter of fact, I was doing some research this week, and Herbert Lockyer has a great book called All the Trades and Occupations of the Bible. And reading through there, reading about shepherds, I hadn't thought about this, but he drew my attention to it, that many of the great names in Bible history were shepherds. Abraham and Moses and Jacob and David, the prophet Amos, and others. There was a day when that was normal, but by the time that Jesus was born, culture had changed. It had shifted. God's people had been exiled out of their land and then partially resettled in the promised land. Roman rule had established itself firmly in control. Rulers now came from circles of influence and power and wealth. And somewhere down the food chain, shepherds wandered the hills with their flocks. A different time. And so God's choice to announce Jesus' birth and proclaim Him as the Christ. Do you notice this is the first time to these people? This is the first time that God proclaims Jesus to be the Christ. He actually uses that word that means Messiah. He says that he's coming to save His people from their sins. He says that to Joseph, and He says other things to the angels. But this is the first time where God makes it clear that Jesus is the Messiah. And God chooses to do that through shepherds who are out in the hills at night. And I believe that that teaches us a principle, and it is simply this, that God uses people whom most of us would overlook. We wouldn't consider them. They wouldn't show up first on our list. These men wielded no power or influence. As a matter of fact, they lived very, very solitary lives away from society. With their sling and their rod and their staff and some kind of instrument, usually a flute, but David took a harp with him. And some kind of musical instrument with their dogs. They relentlessly nursed and protected and provided for their flocks of sheep. These men lived in tents, not palaces. Don't miss these. These are shepherds. They live a harsh life. And so this morning, I want to walk a little bit through the Scripture. I want to show you some things. And then I want to start filling in for you some of the blanks that are there in your notes. And here in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, this is the only time these guys show up. They pop into the story here, and they disappear from the story. And they may be in some of those crowds that follow Jesus and come to hear Him preach, but they're never mentioned again. And they're gone. They just pop on the scene, and then they pop off the scene. I want you to look at some things here in this passage, I think, that warrant our attention. Now, look at verse 9. It says, "And an angel of the Lord suddenly." Do you see that? Suddenly. All of a sudden. Poof. Bang. There it was. And then I want you to look in verse 13. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Do you see that? Suddenly? Do you see that? Sometimes I think that in our minds we slowly transform these stories into something different. Out there on the Judean hillsides, guys, I just want to make real clear to you, it was not a silent night. It was one lively night. Okay, so these guys are out there. Their job is to watch over these flocks. If they're still out in the hillside, they may not have a place to bring the sheep into where they can be contained. They may not have that. And so they may be still watching over their flocks, just like the scripture says, protecting them, watching to make sure no wild animals come in. A lamb is a tasty treat. And so they're out there doing their thing. This is not a high traffic area out in the Judean hillsides. And bang! Did I get you? Suddenly, it says that. Suddenly, bang! There it was, an angel of the Lord. You know, an angel of the Lord doesn't slowly fade in. He's just suddenly there, just like that. Can you imagine an experience like that? He's just suddenly there. And you listen to the angel for a few minutes, and he speaks to you, and then bang! Did I get you? Suddenly, there is a multitude of the heavenly host. So I checked this out. I checked this heavenly host thing out, this multitude. I was curious, so does that mean he's joined by three or four more angelic guys, you know, that are going to sing the ensemble? And this word is used to describe large crowds of people. Can you imagine being out there in the Judean hillside, minding your own business, watching over your flocks? You got your little sling. You got your rod. The rod was an interesting thing. It was no more than 30 inches long, maybe a little bit shorter than that many times. And it would have kind of pokey studs on the end of it. And the rod, they would have contests with this. Eastern shepherds would. A good shepherd 30 yards away could take a rod and he could throw it. And he could throw it and he could kill a wild animal right in the middle of the sheep without touching one of the sheep. And so he's got his sling, he's got his rod, he's got his staff, and an angel. Are you suddenly feeling inadequate? Now let me tell you about that. The shepherd. The shepherd was a solitary life. And there was no red phone that you could pick up and say, "Man, I need backup now." You were on your own out there. If a wild animal comes to attack the flock, you alone are the one who stands up for them. And so when the angel suddenly pops upon the scene, these shepherds, not one of them, probably several of them, it's plural, these shepherds have no backup. There's nobody they can call and say, "Hey, I'm in deep trouble." And just as suddenly as that one angel appears, just like that, a whole sky. You know, when Jesus is baptized, it seems that God pokes a hole. He takes a pin and he pokes a hole in reality so he can look in and we can hear his voice and he speaks. Many times this happens in Scripture. On the road to Damascus, this is going to happen with the Apostle Paul. God pokes a hole. He takes a pin and he pokes a hole in reality so that heaven can shine through. And there was a bright light, and Paul heard Jesus speak to him. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And here what is happening is in the middle of the night, out there in the Judean hillside, and God takes a pen and he pokes a hole. And an angel comes down and speaks. And then I think God grabs all the hole and he just rips it apart. And suddenly there is a multitude of the heavenly host, a sky filled with them. Now I want you to see the next thing in verse 15. And when the angels had gone away from them, I just want you to, for a minute, try and fathom what it was like to experience this. To suddenly have an angel appear. Never in your life have you dreamed of ever experiencing such a thing. And an angel of the Lord God Almighty stands before you. But God has more in store for you out there. You, shepherd, standing beside your tent. He reveals to you a whole multitude of the heavenly hosts. No one has ever seen anything like this before. And he shows you. And can you imagine how their heart is pumping? Can you imagine how the adrenaline starts to flow? Suddenly one appears, suddenly many appears, and then they're all gone. They've all gone away, and the hole closes back up. And there you stand in the darkness, the Judean hillside. The best word I can use to describe what these guys experienced out there was abrupt. I mean, I realize we want to be spiritual and we want to spiritualize all this, but wasn't it abrupt? Suddenly they're there and suddenly they're not. I just have this picture in my mind of when the angels go away, that the shepherds are standing there, something like this. As they slowly process what just happened, abruptly, in the middle of the night, suddenly. And there's a little detail in here. There's a little detail in here about the glory of the Lord. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, verse 9, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, we can let those words just go by, but I want you to try and be there. Remember, these guys haven't read the story 1,000 times. This moment is the moment that all of this is happening. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. If you study the glory of the Lord, what you're going to find out is the glory of the Lord is much brighter than sunlight. The Bible describes it like that. Much brighter than sunlight. And the way that this is described, where it shone round about them, it's similar to the experience that Peter, James, and John had on the hilltop later with Jesus being transfigured before them. When suddenly the presence, the glory of the Lord came down, a cloud, it says, encompassed them round about. It enveloped them. Here's what that means. In front of you, in front of them at that point was the cloud. To their right was the cloud. To their left was the cloud. Behind them is the cloud. They look up, it's the cloud. It's everywhere. And that's what it's like for this glory that shines brighter than the sun suddenly to encompass them. You're out there at night. You're minding your own business. You're hearing those little sounds that sheep make. I have no idea what that is. So I won't try to make sounds. But you're listening to little sounds that sheep make. You're listening to the sounds of the outdoors. Just like that. Bang! There is the angel standing before you. But don't just see the angel there. Just like that with the angel. The glory of the Lord shines all around you. All around all of those shepherds standing there, a light brighter than the sun suddenly encompasses them. I'm really not sure what this is like. As I think about the cloud, I think about the descriptions. One day I was driving from Midland, Texas, back to Big Spring, Texas. And I encountered something that had never happened to me before. I've never had it happen to me again with the intensity it happened that day. I was caught in a dust storm. I'd never seen a dust storm like that. I'd only heard of dust storms like that. I was so afraid that some 18-wheeler was still going to be barreling along at highway speed and smash me because I could not see 5 feet in front of my car. It was like being in a bad, bad, bad thunderstorm, except I've been in those before and it gets really dark. But the difference with this, when I was in the midst of that dust storm, I remember it so vividly. I was suddenly surrounded by brightness. because the sun was still shining and I was surrounded by all this dust. I was surrounded by brightness, but I could not see 5 feet. And I've often wondered what it was like for these guys that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. If all they experienced was a pinpoint of light above them that was brighter than the sun, or if it was like that day when I was driving between Midland and Big Spring, when suddenly brightness totally encompassed me in front of me, behind me, to my right, and to my left. I'm not sure, but somehow I think that's probably what it was like. It's a better description of being enveloped and encompassed in it. You know, in heaven, when the glory of the Lord illuminates things, there will be no shadow. It will be gone. That's why I think it's like that. It's not light that comes from a pinpoint. It's light that surrounds you. That's what they experienced when the angel showed up. If that comes with one angel, can you imagine what happened when a multitude of the heavenly host showed up? And guys, the Judean hillside came alive. It came alive. His glory encompassed them. And then there's the sound. There's the sound. No one ever mistook the sound of an angel. When an angel appeared, people would fall on their face. They would tremble in fright. No one ever mistook the voice of an angel. They could hear God speak when an angel spoke. It was a frightening experience. One angel. And that's not all they experienced that night. It says that a multitude of the heavenly hosts appeared before them. And I want you just for a moment to think about this. You got the one angel. You're encompassed with the glory of the Lord. It shines round about you. And then there is a multitude of the heavenly host. And they don't just stand there in the sky. They're not doing that. They're not there for you just to see them, shepherds. They're there to proclaim a message. And so all together, it describes here what they're doing. It says, the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. I just have a feeling that if you're an angel of the Lord God and you stand in his presence and you see his throne and you see him, you don't say it like this. Glory to God. I believe this was an amazing sound. A sound wrought with the passion of heaven. They saw an angel. They saw the multitude of the heavenly host. The glory of the Lord shone around about them. And then they heard the heavenly host. Can you even imagine what the sound of the heavenly host could be like? They heard these things. This is the experience of the shepherds there in that place on that night. And I believe that God picked these men because of a certain character they had. It's illustrated in the story. You see, these guys are available. They're not too busy. They're not too distracted. They don't dismiss God's display. They have room in their life to hear God, to process what God is saying. And so they're available to him. They're responsive to him. They're not resistant to what the angel said. They don't dismiss what the angel says. They actually respond to it. And I love what they do. They begin saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They're responsive to it. They're initiators. And they're initiators and they're passionate. I love what it says in verse 16. And so they slowly sauntered along the paths and eventually made their way. It doesn't say that. What it says in the scripture is after this spectacle experience that they've had, they decide to go. And when they go, they came in a hurry. They hurried along the path. They quickly moved along the path. And if they're good shepherds, they wouldn't have left their shepherds out there in the fields by night alone with no one to watch them. And so I can just imagine what it must have been like for Bethlehem. more than one shepherd, more than one flock, hurriedly coming down from the hills, hurriedly going through the streets. And what a spectacle it must have been to Joseph and Mary to see them all suddenly arrive. And then to begin telling. And they don't just read the story like we read the story. They begin talking about what it was like to see an angel. They begin talking about what it was like to have the glory of the Lord brighter than the sun totally encompass them with no shadow. They begin to talk about suddenly this multitude of the heavenly hosts. I just imagine it filled the sky. And they talk about what it was like to hear the sound of the heavenly host. And they talk about the content of what the angel and the multitude said. And that is why. That is why all who heard it wondered at those things that were being told them by the shepherds. The shepherds were a special kind of people. They were the kind of people that God needed to make this first announcement of the Messiah to. I believe that one of the reasons this is such a grand display is this is the first time that God makes known directly at Christ's birth that this is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. This is the first time. That's so important. And so there are some lessons that we can learn about God and about ourselves. And I want you to think through these things. And they kind of flow out of the story. They're not in any particular verse, but I think you'll see them there when I share them with you. First of all, God has infinite attention. Infinite attention. There are some people that we would normally overlook. They wouldn't even come on our radar. But never equate our limited ability to give attention to everybody. Never equate that with God's ability to give attention to everyone. Because God was 100% fully aware of some shepherds who were out there in the fields, not even in town, not in a palace, not anywhere, just out there. He was 100% aware of them. And probably nobody else in the world was even thinking about right now, with God's infinite attention, 100% of His attention is on you right now. Guys, I'm not talking about the group. I'm not talking about group attention. I'm talking about His personal attention to you. I have no idea how God can give 100% of His attention to every single person all the time. But isn't that why He's God? He is divine in every way. He has infinite attention. He has unlimited creativity. Oh, we would think about ways to make things happen, and we could come up with plans. And if we wanted to make sure that everybody really understood that this is the Messiah, we could come up with a plan to really get the word out. And there are probably some people we'd overlook in the process of doing that we wouldn't include in our plan. And God has unlimited creativity. Every idea is always right there for Him. Every idea. Every idea. Not just the ones He can come up with. He has unlimited creativity. And that's how He was able to create all things. And still have plenty of creativity left to go. And not only that, but He has endless ability. Are you getting the idea? Infinite, unlimited, endless. This is the God who orchestrated this display this night to these shepherds. This is the God. It's not the God that has night duty. This is the real deal. They're on the graveyard shift. They're doing their work in the middle of the night. But God has no graveyard shift. This is the God of all creation, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the one who orchestrates this and puts it together. And with His endless ability, only God can prick a pinhole in reality so the glory of heaven can shine through. And that's not all He did. It really is as if he pulled it open so a whole multitude could show through. Only God can do that. And that is the God these men experienced that night out on the Judean hillside. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. That's the God who's at work here. Yes, he's at work over there with Mary and Joseph. But because he's God, he's able to be at work out in the Judean hillside too. And did you know this? Because of his infinite attention and unlimited creativity and endless ability, when he was at work in the stable and he was at work in the Judean hillside, don't miss this. At that same moment, with this attention, with this creativity, and with this ability, he is at work in this room right now, today. That's what's happening. This is the God that we learn about and we see as these things unfold there in the hillside. And then there's some things to learn about me. I look at these guys. They could have gone to sleep out there. And they could have woken up to another day with the same rocky ground and hardly any grass on it. The same sheep. The same sling. The same little pouch of stones, the same rod, the same tent, the same dogs. It could have all been just the same. And you know, sometimes when we're way out there, when we don't feel like we're the skilled, top-notch, top-of-the-list person. And sometimes that's how we live life. We don't expect God to do anything with us. We don't expect Him to use us to change our world. And tomorrow we'll wake up into the same life. And there's some things God wants you to learn about yourself. He wanted me to learn about me through these shepherds because they could have done that. But here is the message that God speaks to us. First of all, I am useful to God. It doesn't matter who you are. God wants you to hear that you are useful to Him. You are useful to Him. Your knowledge doesn't have anything to do with that. Your skills doesn't have anything to do with that. Your age doesn't have anything to do with that. You are simply useful to God. You are useful to Him because He looks at you and wants to use you. And so nothing about you goes into that. You just are useful to God. We tend to look at ourselves first. God looks at what He wants to do first. And then He chooses. I'm noticed by God. I'm not just useful, but I'm noticed by God. Everyone else may overlook you, but today I want you to know, today God is looking at you. You. He's looking at you. And He's noticing you. And when God looks at you, no matter what your background, no matter what you feel you can do and can't do, God looks at you and says, wow, what I can do with you. I'll look back at who God is, the lessons learned about God. That's the one who notices you. He sees you. Right now, God on His throne, don't miss this. Right now, God on His throne, He looks down. He's looking down. He sees you. He sees you. He knows you're here. He knows you got up this morning. He knows what you went through to get here. He notices you. And then I am included in God's plans. God didn't look at me. He doesn't look at you and say, oh yeah, that one. Let's see, I'll work in somewhere. Have you ever been a work in to the doctor's office and felt bad? And you sit there and wait for them to get around to you because you weren't meant to be there. Well, I want you to know that in God's plans to change your world, just like these shepherds, He intends for you to be there. He has a place carved out for you to be there, just like these guys. He knew where they were going to be. He picked the time and place. He orchestrated to be able to use them. And He's doing the same with you. He's already included you in His plans. What there is for us to do is follow. Isn't that what Jesus asks us to do? To follow Him. And that's how we plug in. And so that all brings me to the takeaway that I've said several times today already. It's very, very simple. That God uses people whom most would overlook. And this morning, I don't want you to think about, golly, when has the church ever asked me to do anything? That's not what I'm talking about. Because the church is made up of earthly people who have some of the same hitches that you have. Oh, we get it right some and we don't some. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God. And so this morning I'm not saying look and ask yourself, when has the church asked me to do anything? I'm talking about alone with God. Alone with God. And what does God want to do with you? To saturate yourself in His Word so that you can hear Him. That's what you need to do. Saturate yourself in His Word so that you can hear Him. And then make yourself submissive to Him. Yield up your life. Yield up everything you've thought about to Him. These guys never expected. They never expected even to get a sentence in a book. That's not what they had in mind out there on the Judean hillside. But then they let God use them. And when they let God use them, everybody, they got everybody talking. Everybody was talking about Jesus. Everyone was talking about what God said. And that's what God wants to do through you. He wants to use you to change your world. God can use you to get everybody talking. God can use you to help people see something they've never seen. When we look at the shepherds, perhaps the best picture of God using ordinary people is right here. Would you bow your heads right now and pray with me? I want to ask you this morning to right now pray a prayer of submission. Because that's where it all has to start. Pray and say, God, I release everything I am, everything I think I'm not, everything I've not even thought of, I release all of myself up to you. You can use Mary's words. Be it done to me according to your word. Just surrender yourself before Him. You don't have to have anything specific He's saying. It's surrender is where it starts. God, I surrender myself to you. And then just ask Him to help you hear Him. There is no one in this room that God is not speaking to.
This is Pastor Kevin once again. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen and to learn from God's Word. Often when I listen to Bible preaching with an open heart, God speaks to me. He gives me instructions. He imparts wisdom. And many times He calls me to a point of decision where I will have to say yes or no to Him and to His ways. It's easy to move on after listening to a recording and make no adjustments to our lives, to make no headway toward the new obedience God calls us toward. I want to invite you to respond to this message. I'd like to encourage you to keep going with the things God has spoken to you through this message, and I'd like to do that through personal correspondence. So let me extend this invitation to you. Use the contact form on the website to send me a note about how God has spoken to you through this message. Share the insight God has taught you. Share how you believe God is calling you forward in your walk with Him. And share with me any steps of obedience you believe God is asking of you. And please include the sermon title too. I will pray for you and write you back to see how you're weaving these new truths into your life. I look forward to hearing from you. Don't let God's Word lie dormant in your life. Do something about it today. Contact me.